Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ron, did you steal my phone?
Where'd my phone go? I would have no use for your phone, Joe.
Somebody took it. Are you sure?
Not on your head, those are your glasses.
Right, although I've done that before. And as I've told you, I've been talking on my phone to my wife, telling her I can't find my phone. Here it is. All right, let's go out to the Nemecolon fan hotline where we find Brian Batko, the Batconian mongoose. He's been called in various circles. He covers the Steelers, and he does a wonderful job. Brian, how are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing wonderful. I love the shots that you've been running of you leaving on road trips the way they do with the actual players. I think those are very, very evocative, very intriguing.
Thanks, Joe. I'm still waiting for a sponsorship deal to come of that, but maybe next year will be waiting for me.
Well, the odds are out for the Steelers' next quarterback, whatever we want to make of those. Horst just tweeted them, and if I could find them, I would be very happy to tell you what they are, but I can tell
you. I always get those dumb emails. I actually have two lists of odds that I've gotten within the last 24 hours. They're very similar, but not exactly alike.
Well, let me start with this, with Shapiro. He has Mason Rudolph as a pretty prohibitive favorite. Are you in agreement with that? Do you expect Mason Rudolph to be under center when the Steelers open in September?
Yeah, I think I'd put it this way, Joe. If I have to bet on one horse in the entire race, I'm putting my money on him. But if it's Rudolph versus the field, I might go with the field just because of so much uncertainty. And I think back to a few years ago, I wasn't covering the team yet, but I was doing some research and looking at this. They're not exactly the same situation. I mean, one guy's vying to be a starter, the other was a backup, but it was pretty surprising when the Steelers released Landry Jones back in 2018 after signing him to a two-year deal before that. So I guess there is some precedent for saying we're committing to a quarterback and then turning around and saying he's not even the guy that we want at that spot anymore.
I believe the second guy on Shapiro's list is Derek Carr. Is that true, Joe? Is that the list you're looking at?
Yes, Derek Carr, 7-1.
What do you think the odds are of somebody coming in from the outside, not named Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
Yeah, Ron, I mean, listening to Tomlin talk about that on Tuesday, and I kind of pressed him on it, asking about that Jay Glazer report that, you know, he doesn't want to start over with a rookie, considering, you know, 5 minutes before I brought that up, he sounded very open to starting over with a rookie. And, there's this notion that he wants to transition from Ben to another veteran. And I think based on Tomlin's comments, he doesn't consider Rudolph and Haskins veterans at this point, even though they've got, what, 3 and 4 years in the league, respectively. So, you know, somebody like Carr, I feel like Tomlin kind of ruled him out. But I guess you never know if the Raiders are going to move on from him, which, you know, according to the salary cap sites, they could do that and save almost $20 million and have no dead money. So if he does come on the market, I think you owe it to yourselves if you're the Steelers, to look into that. And Tomlin kind of left open that possibility as well, since he kept mentioning the draft and free agency. And, you know, he laid it out there that, like any position, you have to take into account what the cost is going to be to acquire somebody like that. And I can't imagine for Carr that it would be cheap versus the value of the draft. And I know you guys, or at least Joe's kind of been banging the drum for, if you're going to take a quarterback, it better be someone you believe in to take in the first round. But I don't know if it's always that simple. I think you've got to grade these guys and figure if someone's going to drop to you at 20 or something like that, and then the juice is worth the squeeze, then maybe you go a different route.
Well, we've started a new feature on Cook and Joe, and it's been very exciting for everybody. It's our quarterback of the day, and our first two were Kirk Cousins and Jameis Winston. We gave the thumbs down to Cousins because of the gigantic cap hit, and we gave a thumbs up to Winston. All things being relative, Winston compared to what they have. Your thoughts on those two guys?
Yeah, I think Cousins is a solid player, maybe better than people give him credit for, widely, myself included. But no, I think the cap hit with him is prohibitive. He's just become an albatross a little bit for the Vikings, and it would be the same way, I suppose, if anybody else wanted to get into the mix to acquire his services. I mean, Jameis was okay this year in New Orleans before he went down with the injury. I suppose with these ACLs, you don't worry about it as much with a quarterback as you do some other positions. Just look at Joe Burrow and Dak Prescott. So, I mean, yeah, that would be intriguing to me in a sense with Winston. I'm more intrigued, though, by this quarterback of the day feature on the Cook and Joe show, because if you're going to do it until the draft, like, by that last couple days before night one, you're going to be down to like bringing Tim Tebow out of retirement as a possibility.
Well, I think Starkey has him on his list.
We're going to get back to Duck Hodges. But trust me, I've looked into this. We can get a month out of it with legitimate guys, including the draft.
But you can't get 70 days or whatever, right?
No, we'll do it twice.
Well, we have weekends off that we don't have to worry about it, Joe, right?
That's exactly right.
What do you think about Matt Canada coming back by all indications? I mean, I guess Tomlin made it as official as he could the other day. Surprised at all?
No. I mean, I thought it could have gone either way just because of how impotent they were on offense, especially in the first half of games and the second half of the season when, you know, theoretically your young guys are starting to understand it more. Maybe you can put in more in your script and you can scheme things from the start. But I'm not as down on Canada as seemingly the rest of the known universe. I don't really want to defend him either, because some of the play calls are undoubtedly ridiculous, and I've been one of the people on more Thursdays than not who stand down there on the south side and ask him questions and get fed nothing in return for an explanation about those play calls. But when I look, just kind of take a step back and look at it objectively, and everything that you could put blame on for the offensive failing, I mean, what makes more sense? That Canada, a guy who's been an offensive coordinator for two decades, albeit mostly at the college level, but is generally regarded as a pretty smart guy in the sport, just all of a sudden forgot how to draw offensive plays? Or that the offensive line, and maybe even more so the quarterback, the 39-year-old quarterback he was drawing them up for, just isn't really good enough to execute them?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, and he does have really only a college resume. And isn't the college resume a bit spotty? I mean, the best job he ever had was LSU in terms of profile, and he got fired
before the season was over.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's some ups and there's some downs in his track record, of course. And I think that probably goes for every coordinator everywhere, unless you spend a lot of time at somewhere like Ohio State or Alabama and you just have superior talent year in and year out.
But what I'm saying, I guess, Brian, is where has this guy thrived year after year and built this reputation as some – he never struck me as somebody that everybody wanted.
And don't forget,
I don't think they won like a battle to land him. Maybe Miami was interested.
Don't forget that his year at Pitt, then Narduzzi trashed him, right? Said, we really didn't do that much. He wasn't that good. I think that was more personal because he left.
He had one great year. He had one incredible year. So I don't know, man. I don't know about this guy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, definitely coaching matters in the NFL. I don't know that it matters as much in this league as it does in college in some ways. I think it is a player's league in that sense. And if you're an offensive coordinator with good talent, you're going to have success unless, you know, you're truly in over your head. I just don't get that feeling with Canada. I mean, I've talked to people who said that the guy knows schemes. He's he's smart with the X's and O's. Of course, that's what everybody said about him when he first got promoted here. And you know, I think it was Sean McVay on a podcast last year said he really loved a lot of the concepts that, that Canada was introducing in the college game. And so much of that stuff, it trickles up to the NFL now. So I guess I don't put a ton of stock into this. He's running a college offense at the pro level, and it's not going to work. I mean, it's not like he brought in the triple option or something. So I think there, and he was kind of a pro-style slash spread type in, at that level as well. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't think he did a good job, but it's, you know, everything I mentioned, it doesn't shock me that Tomlin might think it was more on the player personnel than it was on the coaching personnel that they had so many issues.
So where do you fall on the argument? I know our colleague Jerry Dulac has tweeted out and opined and reported that Canada was handcuffing Ben. Like you mentioned, it's a players' league, but I'm thinking that if you asked Ben, he would say he wasn't given enough freedom. And then I'm sure that you saw this. There was this quote from Troy Aikman about why the Cowboys didn't throw to C.D. Lamb in that game the other day. And he basically said, because in this league you get overindulgent coordinators who think they're smart instead of just taking what's there. And then Ryan Switzer said that might as well be Ben talking. Then Deontay Johnson retweeted it. So what's true here? Did he let Ben do what he wanted, or did he handcuff Ben?
And then we have the Mason Rudolph comment from yesterday that, you know, I don't know that he meant for this to, you know, blow up the way that it has. But, I mean, he came out and said that, you know, he's not an 18-year established veteran, and he's not going to have as much luxury, is the word he used, to request play calls and, you know, tell Canada what he likes and stuff like that. I don't think that he was trying to throw Ben under the bus or anything with that. I think he was more speaking plainly. So, yeah, there's a whole lot of back and forth, and we might never get the truth. You know, Matt Canada isn't going to call me up and lay it all out, and neither is Ben. I wish they would. That would make things pretty easy for me. But all we can really go off of is, you know, some of the reporting that's there. I'm sure a guy like Ryan Switzer, who's very close with Ben, is getting that kind of right from the horse's mouth in a sense. But, you know, I still come back to, you know, regardless of what's being schemed and whether it's Ben going off script or whether it's Canada being too rigid, I don't think that Ben was making very many pinpoint throws anymore. I mean, he had some good fourth quarters and second halves, but we know the defense is mostly softened up in those situations. So all that really matters is the opinion of Tomlin and company at the end of the day. And it sure seems like they think, as he said, Canada brings some attractive things to the table. So it's not like he's getting an all-pro quarterback to work with next year either. So it's still going to be tough sledding if he can't figure out a way to bend his X's and O's to the pieces that he has.
Didn't Mason go out of his way to say, didn't he use the word, "I'll surrender to what Matt wants" next year? Didn't he use that word? Whatever he wants?
You're right, Ron. That was a little bit of a weird choice of phrase. Maybe he wishes he could have that one back. But, yeah, that's what he said. He'll basically surrender to Matt. I guess the unspoken part there is that the previous guy did not do that. I don't know that that's really healthy either. I think when you get to the pro level, any quarterback and offensive coordinator should have some give and take. I also thought it was interesting that Rudolph said that, because if you go back to when they were planning for the Chargers game, when Ben was on the COVID list, Canada said that he's going to work with Rudolph to figure out plays that he likes and plays that he doesn't like, throws that he prefers over others. So I don't know. Everybody's being a little bit too deferential here, but that was the same exact thing last offseason when Canada was first promoted. Him and Ben were falling over each other to say that it's going to be the other guy's show.
Well, I think it's only smart for a coordinator to do what a quarterback feels comfortable doing. Bruce Arians always said that I'd be stupid to make him do something he doesn't want to do. But I wanted to ask you if you were pretty glad you weren't the guy who asked if Mason, if he saw the tunnel at the end of the, what was it? Carrot at the end of the tunnel yesterday.
I guess I could have chimed back in and saw if he saw the light at the end of the stick. But I don't know. I mean, Rudolph's interview was pretty entertaining overall. I heard you guys say that you've already forwarded Ray Fittipaldo for consideration to Gene Collins.
Oh, Ray already took ownership for it. He's a good sport, so.
I guess you could put a carrot anywhere you want, really. Maybe it's not that bad of a malaprop.
Carrot at the end of the tunnel.
I just don't notice know if you'd notice it, though, Brian. If you picture yourself, let's say, driving through a tunnel, would you notice a carrot?
Depends how big it is.
True. That's a good point, Ron. Right? I hadn't thought of that yesterday.
I hear you.
May we end here with a rousing game of yes or no, Brian?
Yes.
As the title of the game would imply, your job is simply to say yes or no. Are you ready?
Yes.
That was a trick question, Ron. He passed the first test. Joe Hayden's here next year.
No.
Terrell Edmonds is here.
No.
Devin Bush gets that fifth-year option this offseason.
No.
Ooh.
Joe Schobert returns next year.
Yes.
Mm. They draft a quarterback in the first round.
No.
They draft a quarterback, period.
Yes.
Juju returns.
No.
The starting center is J.C. Hassenauer.
No.
Kendrick Green moves to guard.
No.
Zach Banner starts a game.
Ooh. No.
Yeah, that was two words. Almost three. Stephon Tuitt will play here next year.
No.
And lastly, Kalen Ballage's role in the offense will expand.
Nope.
Well, I think both of us were a little surprised by two of your answers there. I think we seem to think Bush will get the fifth-year option. They've invested so much in him that they're not going to just let him go, I wouldn't think. The other part of that is Schobert, I thought, was a major disappointment, and I'm under the understanding they can get out of that contract without it being real hurtful.
Yeah, Ron, I guess, you know, the challenge of that game is that I would have liked to explain both answers, and yet I had no recourse to do so.
Well, now you do. Now you do.
but it's not like they'd be letting Bush go. They'd have him for another season, and they could make a decision after that if he plays really well. You know, they have first right of refusal to come back to him the way they might do with Terrell Edmonds. I was on the fence about that. So that's my thinking there. And with Schobert, yeah, I think they would bring him back on a lower, much cheaper deal because he wasn't very good. Mike Tomlin was probably more critical of him than anybody that he was asked about yesterday. But, you know, if nobody else wants him either, then I could see the Steelers coming back to him and saying, hey, just take this lesser deal like they did with Vince Williams. And, you know, I think Schobert liked it here and might want to stay.
The other thing that jumped out, and now I forgot what you said about Hassenauer, but you said that you didn't think Kendrick Green would move to guard. So you think he'll stay at center and be the starter?
Yeah, I think everybody's writing him off a little bit too early. Don't get me wrong, he wasn't good, but, I mean, it was one season for a guy who was making the transition from guard to center from college to the NFL. I think that's how the Steelers will view it as well, and that he will get the inside track to try again.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome. See you, fellas.
There he goes, Brian Batko.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.